thank you for joining us again today, and we have a real interesting guest that we're going to meet after the opening prayer. So if you join me, oh, Heavenly Father, God, creator of the universe and all that is in it, we thank you for this wonderful day and the opportunity to get together with each other in a communion of spirit. Let us to remember those fortunate than we are. Remember to feed them in body, mind, and spirit. Give them shelter. And let them feel the compassion coming from our heart towards them. If they're experiencing challenging issues of any kind, we ask that you enter the heart of each person listening today so that he or she may feel the spirit moving inside and become part of the earth angels that you have put here to help serve your work. Amen. I'd like to introduce my guest, Derek White Skycloud. He's a very caring and spiritual young medium that works in and around the Lower Mainland of British Columbia. Derek also is well known for his work in many other parts of Canada and the United States because he tours in the areas of Canada to try to reach people in the larger cities and some of the remote areas that are less serviced in the communities that are outlying in those provinces of Canada. Now, Derek's international fame has become really more interesting as he has had appearance on many talk shows, and especially those on the World Wide Web. And he's also known for his own program, which is on BBS Radio at the moment, but he started it with CFUN in Vancouver with Between Two Worlds. And now we're lucky to get him on BBS Radio on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. And I've worked with Derek in many areas. We've worked at church rostrums together. We worked radio shows together, psychic shows together. We've been keynote speakers at the same conferences and public demonstrations we've done together, and had a great social experience over the last number of years, and I'm lucky to call him friend. Hi, Derek.
How you doing, Barb?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good.
Yeah, I just know you're going to say fantastic, right?
Really good.
Yeah. You know, I'd like you to give a little breakdown of your spiritual journey. I know it has to be a Reader's Digest journal issue here, because if we just took everything that you've done, we'd have the whole hour and then some, right?
Oh, I definitely have been doing it for a lot of years.
Yeah, and you've just had just like a burst, like a firecracker in this last couple of years of things that have been going on.
Are you sure you're not talking about my wife?
No, well, yes, but she's the kind of the wind beneath your wings, I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really busy for me. I'm always constantly working, always on call. Within our Aboriginal community as well as the throughout the whole world, as much as we possibly can do.
Yeah, the great thing about it, Derek, is that you do a lot of mentoring, a lot of teaching, and your real love is to be able to bring that feeling of inner God inside the person so that they get to be all that they can be, and that's been your real main goal, even though you do psychic counseling, you do demonstrations and things. It's really to bring people to the awareness of what they can do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, basically, some people, when they do a church service, we also have a traditional way of, we actually have a sweat lodge, and it's like doing going to church, except you don't have to dress up for it. But we still do our prayers every day, and always ask for assistance and healing for those who are suffering, and so then others cannot have to deal with suffering forever.
Yeah, the one good thing too, Derek, is the fact that you've lived the life a little bit too, that you've had to struggle your own way up through your spiritual pathway, and
yeah.
Now it's so good that you're kind of passing that on forward, and you're giving a hand out to other people to help them up, because I know, like all of us, you're working in this on a full-time basis, and yes, we have to have, you know, a living.
Yeah,
but there
definitely.
A lot of times that you're giving a lot of your free time, you know, free, and you're giving a lot of money to people to help them with other things and giving assistance. And really, it's not being done from the money point of view. It's being done from the heart.
Yeah, I like giving back to the church, like what you call giving back to the universe. So whatever I've been able to do, what God gives me, Creator gives me that assistance of intuition, then I always give back to help the community and the churches.
Yeah, I found that with you. You're quite generous with people, and, you know, actually we get counseling times. You know, if you fit it in, you say, okay, this is what you're going to have X amount of minutes. And even at the psychic fairs, you know, we have to kind of keep it down to 15 minutes on mini fair type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of times you go over that because somebody's in stress, and it's not how many people I'm going to read, but if I'm going to be able to help this person.
Yeah, well, Spirit does not stop our time clock and say, well, okay, you can't read them anymore or finish it off. They will tell you when it's done.
And exactly.
You've got to go with what they guide you to do.
Yeah, and for most people, you know, they come in, especially to the fairs, and they're in there to have a good time, and they like to get a little insight of what's going on around them. But we do hit the odd time, even at the fairs, where somebody comes in and they're so stressed out.
Yeah.
And to be able to be, and I think they are guided. You know, I really don't think they come to you by accident. I think they're guided to the person that's going to give them the best help.
Oh, yeah. I mean, many times I've had people coming in looking for a certain reader or just wanting to get someone to read. And there's been two or three readers that actually could not read that person whatsoever. And next thing I'll say, well, you know, try Derek. And they finally got the reading, what they needed to know. So it's not just me specific per se, but sometimes you're meant to be at the church and go see someone, but they just never know who. And then sometimes someone will come to me and say, well, I need to get a reading from you, but I may not get the message. It may need to be for somebody else to get the message. So, but God will come to you in different directions and always give you guidance no matter how and who you need to go to.
You know, what I find is interesting, Derek, is that a lot of times when I was working professionally in a restaurant, for instance, and I was doing readings there, and people would think that they went by there accidentally, seeing the sign in the window, and they accidentally walked in. But when they sat down in front of you, it was so, you know, as if it was so guided that they needed that particular help. And it's like they've been kind of moved along and guided along to get to where they are going to come in and talk to you, and you get that one little thing out to them. Now, they might think that's coincidence, but it's more God-essence, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is God-essence. I mean, you think about it here, like I even did some, I came up with the idea of going to do a tea shop and do teacup readings there as well and do readings out of it. And people say that they've never gone down this specific street before and they never come into that specific store before, but for some reason they felt they needed to come in. And when they did meet me, they got their message. And it even happened to a newspaper lady that she was working for a newspaper column, and she felt that she had to come to the store. She thought it was all about advertising. And then when she met me and I gave her a message, which she had to know, I just basically shared with her, told her that, you know, she'll be, within the next 6 months, you're going to smell tobacco or smell like cigar tobacco in the house, and it will devastate you, but you'll begin to become to peace with it. Well, 6 months passed, her husband committed suicide, and she said she could smell tobacco because she said she found a cigar in his mouth when he hung himself in his own garage.
So,
but after he passed away, she said she could still smell the essence of his cigars. That's telling her that, you know, life's never ending, and that for her not to stay depressed forever. Yes, you have lost your husband, but,
and you know, that is one of the toughest things. Like, there's
it is.
A good example now when she came to you after that, because obviously she did, because you found out what happened.
Yeah.
And you're able to give her some kind of comfort in the fact that life has gone on. And, you know, all of us have frailties of our humanness. And all times we get to a point that we feel like there's a river of no return. And I think that's what your job and my job is, to try to let people know that there is help out here, and that if you get to a desperate place in your life, then go to somebody for help. Don't wait until it gets to a crisis, because you know, this is what we're here for.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And so that's really, really important. Talking about the phenomena, the phenomena is wonderful, isn't it, Derek? I mean, you and I have talked many times around the table with a lot of other good friends.
Oh, yeah.
That are in this field. And, you know, we can exchange stories of phenomena that, you know, no matter if there were all the skeptics in the world, there is no way that those things could have happened by any other way than a phenomenal experience, because we know that. We don't need it proven.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, if you look at it, remember, you know, like, we actually lost a good friend of ours. Remember, his husband and wife. And we both knew that couple for many years. And the funny thing is that when she came to your party, or to a party, she came to visit at your house. We were all visiting for dinner. I remember her walking up to me, and she just felt she let this stuff come up to me, and she says, I need to tell you something. She says, and my husband's giving you this message. And she gave me the message, and I went, oh, okay, cool.
Now, they've been married 58 years.
58 years.
Yeah, and that was just awesome because with this belief system that we have, right?
Yes.
It does give us a chance to go on, into the world. You know what I'm going to do, Derek? We're going to chit-chat throughout the thing, and I am going to give out the numbers because we're going to do something a little different than we normally do, because I'm going to give a chance for people to kind of join in on this conversation if they like to share something with us. And I'm just going to give the numbers. In the United States, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-810-8322. International is 530-876-3222. And Derek and I are going to talk a little bit about different things that have happened and how it's led us down spiritual pathways. We'd like to hear from some of you who can share or ask Derek some questions if they like to, or ask me some questions, because part of the spiritualist movement, which is basically a philosophy, eh, Derek?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And part of that is to be able to give the proof of an afterlife so that we realize that we do continue on afterwards. And you can be an Anglican, you can be a Roman Catholic, you can be Jewish. And we do have some Jewish friends, and they may be listening in right now. And we have people that are, you know, Buddhists, and they still can believe in the afterlife. And that's what we're there for, to try to give a little bit of proof that it isn't over when life finishes here. In fact, it just begins, ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we have a lot of work to do.
Pardon me?
We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we do. And it is interesting because this particular lady that you were talking about, they've been married 58 years. And do you remember how ill he was in the last year? And we were all so concerned about, you know, 58 years married. They met each other when they were kids. She met him when she was 14 years old. You know, basically her whole life was this.
They grew together. They went through hard times. And they still worked it out and stuck their thin and thin. And he himself never even showed any fear of leaving this world. He just knew it was time. He knew that she would have to be prepared to continue for him and with him. And she knew he'd be with her all the time.
And I know there were a lot of people, even in our community, spiritualist community, that wondered, you know, once he did leave the physical body, just how she was going to be able to cope, because that was very difficult.
Yeah.
And we were just amazed, were we not? I mean, right away, she's coming back into the churches, coming back into group, and she, you know, bringing his spirit with her and talking about things that have happened with communication that he's had. Other people seen him and communicated with him, gave her messages. And she's also working in her mediumship, you know, right within 2 weeks of his passing.
I think she's doing more activity now than she ever was before.
I think so. And, you know, I think she really feels the closeness with him, being able to work with her there. And so though she, you know, she really misses the physical essence of him, that afterlife connection that she has, and that really, she doesn't have to be told. Nobody could talk her out of it, I'll tell you.
No.
Because she's seen him since he's passed. She's had information from him that there was no way, in fact, from you, there was no way things that she got from you that you would have ever known was to do with their young years before we ever knew them.
No.
And you came out with some absolutely fantastic evidence for her.
Yeah.
Now, this is what's really important, is this evidence that we're able to give. to the people and give them the comfort.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you know that I don't see a lot of difference between a medium and a psychic. I know that in the spiritualist world, they call a medium someone who is actually connecting with the spirit of someone who's departed.
Yeah.
But it's all coming from God originally anyway. It's just that we're using the messengers of angels, the messengers of departed energies that are out of the body now, and they are loved ones or whatever, correct?
Well, I guess a lot of people like to do, they like to use a definition of a specific word, what they call themselves. I mean, basically the word is, psychic means soul. I mean, it's a Greek word.
Yeah.
The word medium, what does that mean? Between what?
Go between.
This medium, that, medium rare.
The medium rare that we've done is, you know, I've done demonstrations out there to people, and I don't know who they are in the first place, for the most part, and then I do them blind billeting, which means that everything is set up before I come in there. I don't know who's put the rings on the tray. I don't know who's picked the flowers or whatever, and able to give them information from that. But it's all coming from the same source. But I think where the connection is, and I know that you do medium / psychic, so that they know that whatever name they put on it, you're still doing it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
my traditional people, like being Aboriginal, you know, they say, well, they don't know what the word psychic or medium means. So I tell them, I says, well, I'm a seer. And they know what that means, because the word seer is one who, that's how, in our traditional ways. So
exactly.
You can give yourself any title you want, but you basically are doing godlike.
Yeah, and the thing is that you're using the highest and the best of the energy, and that all of us are, whether we're from this side or that side, are all just messengers that are bringing that top energy down.
Definitely.
And it's interesting, Derek, because the Native people use the word creator.
Yes.
And it's the same thing. And we were talking in the beginning of the show, and we talked throughout the show about the fact that it doesn't matter by what name you call God that you worship in whatever temple or church or synagogue of your choice, but we're all going to the same place. All in the end, we're all going to the God that's at the top, which is the Creator God.
Yeah, it's all creation. So whatever all that's created is God light, is all the essence of God.
Yeah. And so talk a little bit about some of the work that you've done when you've gone on tours. Like you go into some of these remote areas that haven't, and I think you've got one coming up, have you not?
Yeah, I actually have. I've worked on the reserves. My reservation's up in Alberta, in B.C., British Columbia, and different directions, and sometimes I end up living there for a few months.
Yeah.
Because they just don't want to let you go. They're asking to stay longer to help their people, and they know, you know, the truth about what you are trying to do to help, and you know, you don't want to interfere. If you feel that you're getting in the way, you step back, you let them make the choice by calling you in, not having to insist yourself upon them. And sometimes we do have churches like that once in a while that the insistence of push. And this way here, if we step back, let the people come to you. Those are the ones that you need to understand that they come from guidance. And if God's sending you to a specific person or a place, you're going to get the message. If you need personal healing, that also too is available. I mean, I've been talking with my elders about what medicines to use, what they need to recommend. It doesn't take away their medical needs. Basically, if they need to see a doctor, I do recommend to see a doctor as well. But if it's something that's simple that they just basically, like say, for example, you know, if they need something to help their cold, vitamin B, I'm sure they can use that knowledge to get it themselves. But sometimes
the Internet's a great place,
yeah,
isn't it? They can go there and they can research out and, you know, really they know their own body better than anybody else does. But, you know, you and I are of the same mind in as much as if somebody had an appendix attack, I would not recommend they stand there and go heal.
No.
I'd recommend that they get into the doctor and let the hands of the doctor be guided by that great, wonderful God that's there that will guide the surgeon sometimes to something that they didn't even know was there.
Definitely.
In fact, I've heard of a case where they went in to do some operation at one time, and for whatever reason, the man, the surgeon doing the operation was not doing surgery on this person's kidney per se.
Yeah.
But doing something else, and the impression came across his mind to reach in behind the kidney and found a tumor that they didn't even know was there.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, how much more is God impressing through the hands of somebody who has the knowledge?
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't think, maybe we wouldn't have the knowledge to know that that's where the kidney is or whatever. We just know that they, you know, impression that we get. But,
definitely.
You know, if you've had the studies, taken the study, that also goes for, you know, we're talking about the parapsychology field now.
Yes.
That, yes, we can, we have natural built-in expanded sensory perception that's there from the time we're born. But we can hone it and develop it by gaining knowledge, which is one of the reasons that the classes are running and things like that.
We never had that when we were young. You know, when we were young, we had to try to figure it out for ourselves. We never knew what spirit guides were. We just knew that we were guided.
Yeah.
We have
a lot
more
of
churches.
Times you had an intuition or you had a feeling or whatever about somebody that you met for the first time, and you would feel, gee, they're like a brother. I've known them all my life. Another time you'd feel an instant bristling and not know why you had that expanded sensory perception to be able to know something that basically everybody else said you shouldn't be able to know.
Yeah, we have more healing centers now that teaches people than we'd like than before we used to have. So I think that's, but I've been also noticing there's a lot more healers coming out in this world than there was when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got a few more years on me, but still, when I was young, I'm 50 now, and Barb's in her youth years still.
In my 70s. I'm 72.
But we still, I mean, even back my time, we never had those schools. You're lucky that we even
As a matter of fact, when I was younger and was able to pick up these vibrations and be able to read for people, basically I kept it quiet. Only a few friends and friends of friends and somebody would know that I did it, and I would get to do it for them. But and it would be absolutely amazing to me. And I think the interesting thing that I see now is that as I became educated, I dropped the fear of it.
Yeah.
Because as a youngster, I had this tremendous fear, a young person of 17, 18, 19 years old. And it was great when I would be telling some girl that she was going to meet a guy with initials JF and that he was going to marry her. And in actual fact, it would happen. But that was fun. But if I would read something that was negative, I wouldn't tell them about the negativity because that isn't my ethics to do that.
No.
But I would scare myself to death. And, you know, whatever happened, when it did happen, they come back and say, well, you know, this happened and it was a negative thing, like maybe the passing of somebody in their family. And I wouldn't mention it, but I would know it was coming.
Yeah.
And I would have an awful time dealing with that. And it was really funny because I read tea leaves as a focus point, and that's what we have to realize, that it's just a point of focus and a language, way of the language getting through to you. And I would go into tea bags for the next 6 months because I wouldn't want to look at a tea leaf for fear I might read something bad. And then
here, read this wrinkly old tea bag.
And so anyway, I would eventually be at somebody's house, and in those days we used to use a lot of loose tea and things, and somebody would be sitting across from me, and as you know, you look at the cup from where they drink it is across from you, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be looking, and all of a sudden I'd be stretching my neck, and I'd be seeing something in the cup that was interesting, and then I was off and running again. And then it would be fine for 6 or 7 months. And I did this after I got married, too. And my darling husband used to not really disbelieve it, but he didn't really believe it. Like, he had no opinion.
Yes.
And he never heard me read. Is that somebody on the line there?
It's somebody coming on the line.
Oh, hello there.
No? Yes. Hi. You know, I'm sorry we lost.
Get
someone there.
We lost the first caller. I apologize for that. That was earlier.
Okay. Yeah, I can let them come through.
But, you know, I now that I have you both on the line, which is okay. So rare, and folks, take advantage of this. I mean, you have two very powerfully intuitive psychic people at your disposal right here, so I'm going to ask you a question. Because, you know, take the rare opportunities when you can get them. There's an entity, Derek Barb, that keeps coming to me in the evenings. And I can see it. It looks like it's the color of gold. Honestly, this is weird. And I've heard about things like this before, but never seen one. And I'm going to describe it in detail. And I don't... Well, anyways, it's kind of gold, white gold skin. It looks like it's white gold. Very light color, but yellowish. But more white. Hard for me to describe. Now, it has no features, except it has a face, has a body, very slender, kind of thin. Very thinner than a human normally. It has very long, slender arms and body, and even the head's kind of smallish. But it's not a small being, you know, not like tiny. And it has no ears that I can see, and big black eyes, a little oval shape, but a little bigger than the humans. I don't even see a nose. It's not even a nose, per se. And it has very small mouth. And a large, not really a large head, it's in proportion to it, but it's no hair, white gold, kind of like I'm saying, no features except for big eyes, mouth, no ears that I see, and the head tapers off. You know, it's a well-formed head. And I can see it quite vividly in the evenings, have been for some time now. And it's like, you know, Derek, this is one of my drawbacks. I can never seem to hear anything except when I'm really deep in meditation. Otherwise, I can't seem to hear what they're trying to say, and when I do, I don't want to confuse it with my own thoughts, so I just block it out until I get something crystal clear. But this entity, I'd like to say its name is, and it's only been happening for a short little while, and it's been since I did something irregular, and I'd like to say its name is Ilona. Or Enola, because it's been coming to me for a few days now since a new program started. Well, anyways, now you have it. You're as confused as I am.
Do you want to go first, Derek, or do you want me to go first?
Well, I wouldn't put past it. It's probably a little extraterrestrial in it, too.
Yeah, see, the thing is that in God's world, let's put it that way, let's not be vain enough to think that we're the only energies that are there.
Yeah.
And on many other levels, and we know that when... what we're dealing with is an energy, and that would be a fairly high energy, and we don't really know that there is anything other than time on the physical level. So when we're on another level outside of it, it's like rainstorm going down.
Right.
A lot of things that are going on, these can be energies that are attracting to you to teach you something, and they can, the fact that the colors are there, the golds and the yellows, is very much the teaching you to have sympathy and the higher feelings for other people, and the work that you're doing, they're approving of that with this gold color coming out. So this is almost like a guiding energy, but it's not to say that it's not from another dimension,
right,
of ourselves.
You know, I feel something, and I feel very positive or very peaceful and comforted when it's there, it's almost like it's. I'm curious. I don't think it has any curiosity. You know what I'm saying? I think it kind of like knows.
Interesting, Don, that you're bringing up something that I throw into my classes sometimes, and it's a what if.
What if, right?
And a what if, in actual fact, there is no time outside of this realm, and that all things are happening simultaneously, so we can cross over to all different dimensions and different, what we class as time zones.
Right.
So it almost, what we see as flying saucers or terrestrials or whatever is actually a progress down the line, maybe 4,000 years hence.
Right.
What we're getting is observers that are looking at us, their energy, that's part of God's world, but are looking at us from the observer point of view is why they don't interfere with us.
Also, I want to say, too, that I feel, Dawn, that this, like Barb's right, this is an observer, but this one actually is quite impressed by what you've done. By doing this radio show, because this is actually doing this on a spiritual level, and they're very impressed, and that's why they're guiding you to have others that to come forward and to continue on this work to keep cherishing this, making it makes it become successful, because this is all based on the future.
You know, funny you should say that. I have a feeling you guys are right in that respect, because it seems. You know, I have a lot of different entities, you know, that I'll see at various times, from a Draconians to the Greys. The Greys are interesting. They're an interesting, they're not like anybody would pretend them to be, I don't think. They don't have any malevolence or anything that I could recall, but they tend to be around me. Various other entities people describe as being, sorry about that. And then, of course, they have, I have these other entities that come to me with various, they almost like look insectoid. But this one entity, you're right, it seems to be like a lot of entities are observing lately.
Yeah.
And have been observing for a while, but they're now more obvious, maybe?
Well, you need observers because they actually like to watch us from the future, and so that's what they're doing right now. They're watching over you. But you're sitting in a hotbed, which basically there is a lot of extraterrestrial activity in your area.
There is
like to watch, and they don't participate, so to speak, in getting involved in what you do, but they watch. But you consider it as a participant and being very impressed by what you're putting on.
And if you think about it in another way, if these beings have the intelligence to be able to travel from place to place, if we were to be interfered with, we would have no defense. So
exactly.
Basically, if we think about the fact that if they are future beings that have this intelligence, have been able to maybe break the light barrier, and be able to do time travel, to interfere with us would mean it would interfere with their own being, because the future would take a change.
I agree.
People say, oh, well, how come, you know, if these things are going on out there, and who's to say what all is going on out there, how come they don't interfere with us, or how come, you know, we don't see them on the earth? Well, we don't necessarily see angels floating around either, but we know they're there. So they're a part of the energy of God's great mansion of dimension. And they will come and impress you to encourage you, if we're talking about the future, to continue going a pathway.
Yes.
Or they will bring you ideas that are future ideas that you can link into, which gives the reason why mediums like Derek and myself can maybe pick up, like many years ago, I picked up a tornado 5 days before it was ever announced, and it was only announced 3 days ahead of it hitting. And yet, because I was so young and inexperienced about what this was, I went on my way, and it hit 5 days, or 4 or 5 days later, and it was just blew my mind.
You know, that would be...
Because I'm touching into something that somebody's giving me.
Yes. Well, thank you. You know, I really appreciate it. And, you know, I tended to think that the entity was just, you know, an observer or some form of a helper or something. But I've never seen this particular one before, ever.
And it's probably guiding you to some degree to keep you down the pathway that you started so that you don't come off of it. You know, sometimes we can get discouraged, and it's their quiet observer to encourage you.
Could be. I'm never discouraged. I'm going full steam ahead.
Definitely the risk taker, Dawn.
Yes. Yep. Step out with both feet. It's fun that way.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
it's so interesting of a life that I've had. Like Gary tells you, I'm 72 years old. And I've
amazing,
had
yes.
Five lifetimes in one, and I love it. Thank you for anything else you'd like to
add? Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking my call, and I'll let you go. I appreciate it.
Great. That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, the what-if game sometimes that we play, because we don't really have all the answers. We hypothesize a lot, and based on educated guesses from the scientific background or whatever.
Yeah.
But that we have experienced that in our group. Sometimes we'll get into the what if thing. And what if, here's an interesting thing for you, Derek. Think about this. What if at some really important time in your life that you had a choice to go one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
What if you took the, well, you've taken the path that you're aware of, but what if another part of your energy in quantum physics has gone down another pathway and is experiencing that there? Have you ever thought of it that way?
Oh yeah, there's different formats of what ifs that we. I said to my wife at the time years back. I said, if I wasn't in this business, where would I be? And either one is either DJ still spinning records, or I would be a carpenter.
And
one of the two.
Is there another facet that may be doing that? That when it joins back up into the seat of the soul with you.
Yeah.
It is actually, and is that, you know, the options, the talent options that we have, and that's where we have the free will to move along those pathways, and we're impressed to go the direction that God has a dream for you. And sometimes we, you know, we do stupid things and we don't go the right way, and so we have to pick up our marbles and find our pathway again.
Yeah, once in a while we do lose our marbles.
In more ways than one, hey,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, which is really interesting. And that's a good topic, is for to believe. I mean, you've been there, I've been there. We've made errors of judgment and ended up not on the pathway that we intended to be. And we've had to kind of regroup and rethink it and get ourselves back on starting over. So what's your theory on if you have to start over, where do you start? or what do you recommend anyway?
To start over?
Yeah. Somebody's completely either emotionally, you know, bottomed out or financially bottomed out or, you know, spiritually bottomed out, whatever the case may be, maybe, you know, their emotions are at the very lowest ebb. How do you recommend that they regain their feet, their footing?
I would say for them to do is actually if they can approach, I mean, this to get on their feet and to approach the nearest spiritualist church. I mean a spiritualist with an IST, their local area, whether it's the United States and Canada or even across Europe, or someone who actually understands what we do. I mean, yes, it's very difficult for people that don't understand why they feel these in these feelings. The quickest answer is that one, and the other is if they actually be able to find someone.
Or the church of their choice, you know, and open their hand and be ready to take what is being offered to them, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It'll help them understand, because they're not going to go crazy. They think they are, and I still get people still think that they think they're going to go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That they think they're going to have, you know, someone's going to think badly about them. But I would tell them, once they start thinking that they are not going to be successful, or they think they're going to lose their friends because they think something wrong is going to happen to them. Well, whether you think you lose your friend or not, the fact is you're not going crazy. You're just basically, you'll probably gain 10 friends out of one when you decide to use your intuition more often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And another thing is, too, that I had a little writing one time, and it says, you're never without resources or friends. There's always an idea waiting to be born, and there's a friend waiting around the corner to come into your inner circle. Our biggest problem is sometimes we internalize, you know, and then we look at the big picture and think, oh, my God, how am I ever going to recover, instead of looking at, you know, what can I do today?
Definitely.
You know, living in the moment is really the biggest thing, and no matter what kind of grief that you've got, and mind you, there's everything, every possible pain out there in the world. People have health problems, they have emotional problems, they've lost loved ones, that, you know. The thing is, if you're here and God has an intention for you to continue on, and if you're going to honor, especially in the loss of people, if you're going to honor them, you have to honor them by going forward and being the best that you can be.
Yes.
And what I tell most of my clients is, look, start where you are. Even if you, like a gardener, if you've only got one seed of corn and you've got a little planter on your patio and that's the only bit of ground that you've got, then start the corn in there, get the next three cobs off so that you can do something with it. So the same investment in your emotions, you know, maybe you feel like everything has just blown you out of the water, but you have to pick up the pieces and in the darkest hour go back. Hi, I think we got somebody online. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Where are you calling from?
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, wonderful. Is it nice down there? You didn't
Not today.
Oh.
Not today.
Well,
it's overcast, rainy, drizzling. Not a nice forecast for the Super Bowl that they're playing here.
Oh, wow. That looks like the kind of weather we're getting, eh, Derek?
Yeah. Ours is rain right now.
Yeah. What was your name?
My name is Homie 3. I know Derek very well.
Oh, good. Well, you want to talk to Derek or you want to talk to me or both of us?
Well, We have never talked, Reverend Barbara Leonard, of your chapel online here.
Oh.
And this is my first time here listening, and I figured I'd call in.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. And I know Derek from other shows, and I have talked to him personally, and I think he's wonderful as far as being able to tell the future of human lives and even events.
That's great. I'm glad that you've met him. I've been lucky to call him friend for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we admire him quite greatly here. We're pretty proud of him.
He does have a unique gift, like quite a few of us, though. But some of us have it more than others.
Well, I think what it is, we're all unique, and we all are the best at what we do. Derek's better than I am at what he does, and I'm obviously better than he is at what I do, and you're better than we are at what you do.
Oh, you're saying me better than both of you? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you right now that there are parts of your talents, I'm sure, that are far better than what mine are.
Well, it does make a lot of sense, because if you take on a specific journey, like Homie himself, he studies the Nostradamus theory.
Uh-huh.
And that's one part of it. Like, he's written a couple books himself. So
wonderful.
And he's had me on other radio shows where he's actually, we've had about five or six mediums all, or psychics all in one radio show itself, where we are interviewed for 3 hours, and we talk about what we think may happen to the future, what we think can help people through. So.
And we also explain some of the prophecies that have been misunderstood for many years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Such
and
as
you know, the thing is that none of us have all the answer.
Excuse me?
We don't all have the, any of us don't have all the answer, but we can do the very best we can.
You know, and we discuss different prophecies like the Bible Code and the Dead Sea
mm-hmm.
Scrolls, stuff like that, and St. Malachi as well.
Great.
Yeah.
And
Sounds like an interesting
we have even recently revealed, you know, what Malachi had stated about the last pope of the Catholic Church. It doesn't mean the end of the world. It could mean the end or the change of the Catholic Church itself. So,
well,
you never
we
know.
Can kind of see that coming, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, we know it's prophecy. It's just that when does it happen, you know? It's we have to let the cards play out.
Yeah.
Exactly, and that's, you know, in God's hands. And the only thing that we can do is what can we do in our own little corner of the world to make it better?
That's true, all over, you know. I look at the aspect, well, if we have information at hand about prophecies or what we call prediction prophecies of the near future, is it possible that we can even change our course for the better by being able to avert these disastrous events by mankind? You know, like possibly wars?
Well, I think there's
such
a thing as intercession. You know, if enough people are changing their thinking and the energy gains that you, you know, appeal to God with that, if it is something that can be changed, it will be.
Oh, yes. You can. Yeah, everybody can pray. It's been proven fact about power of prayer as well.
Exactly. And I think some of them are things that we need to go through and if it's something that we're going to need to do to make the understanding of the world better, I guess, then we are taking the consequences of the way it's been going, like seed in the ground. The corn is coming up, and the tassels are in the air. You know, we've got to take the flak from what's there. Even when a tractor through there, we're going to have some volunteer corn. So, you know, we can try to correct a lot of these things, and we've been predicted. Like you're saying, these predictions have been laying in books and at our hand for how many years, but we've done nothing with them.
True.
Now we need to do something.
You know, even with 9/11, I write about 9/11 in a book that I've released.
Yeah.
Any aspect of that event, you know, I even state, well, why did God even let it happen?
Well, then why did God let it happen?
There's a reason for it. There's a lot of reasons, you know, for everything that has taken place.
But part of the universal law is cleansing, I guess.
If we
don't do something about it ourselves, which is, there's time to do something, we need to do it.
That's right. And I think 9/11 has woken up a lot of spiritual people around the world to the understanding of prophecies and what could be changed is in our hands at this moment.
What is interesting is right after 9/11, the next couple of years, the churches had larger congregations than they'd had in years.
Oh, very true.
And so it did awaken a lot of awareness. But we get complacent again, you know. We get sitting back on our laurels and think that, you know, somebody else is going to do it. And that has to do with world pollution and a whole bunch of things. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not just wars. It's the whole package that human beings have just kind
That's
of
right, because you have some humans that feel that way. Well, somebody else is going to do the job.
Yeah.
That's what we call what, laziness?
Yeah. Well, I think in the spiritualist movement, we call it having to take personal responsibility. You know, and if they don't take personal responsibility, then the consequences of that is like the cricket and you know, that fiddled all through the year and didn't put away any food, they're not going to have what they need when the time comes, when the hard times come.
That's true.
You know, but the only thing that we can do, and that is my thing, is do everything from a positive and try to promote the positive side of being able to get out there and do things rather than, you know, getting concerned about whether I'm going to have an earthquake all down this coast here, is to do what I can do every day I get up to make life better for everybody I touch.
Well, that's good.
You know, and that's, you know, it's a reality. We're on that fault line. And,
yes, it is a reality. Saying,
you know, they're saying we're quaking, you know. But if it's going to happen, I guess it's going to happen. We'll pray that it doesn't. But in the meantime, I can deal with what I can deal with today, and I can deal with the hungry. I can deal with whether they're hungry with body, mind, or spirit and be there.
Well, for the foreseeable future, I gather for the next couple of years, I don't see any major big earthquakes that are really
well,
going to
no,
rock
but we've,
California
you know,
or anything.
No,
you know,
there's an earthquake every once in a while, and it's like a sleeping giant. He snores.
Yeah.
Homie, you're in Florida, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So basically, how far are you from that storm that tornado did that damage?
Oh, that was 300 miles north of me.
Okay.
Northwest in the center of the state.
Yeah.
That was near Orlando, and I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was further north of me. I don't worry too. I worry only when the hurricanes start coming.
Yeah. Head for higher ground.
You think?
Oh, dear.
I mean, I laugh at the last time Wilma had hit here. I had roofing being done from a previous hurricane, and they had my carport had just wood above it, but no slats on top to at least making it like a roof or a protection. It actually the rain could come down through. The guy, the roofer told me, don't leave the car, you know, underneath it. So instead, I put it underneath on the other side where it's almost sitting under the tree, and I should have left it underneath the carport area.
Yeah, because the air can go up through the hole.
Well, I got hit with a tree trunk on the side of the car.
Oh, my. I guess if we're going to get it, we're going to get it.
So yeah. I did. I followed his guidance instead of my own intuition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, the thing is that the biggest thing that we can do for everybody right now is to try to be an example of the work that we do and go out there and be a happy person. And like I was listening to something I had done a few months ago, and on there I had said, you know, that I like to be the kind of person that after a while people look and say, what is she on? I want some of it. Because, you
take a psychic pill.
Try to be very outgoing and positive and say, you know, that, yes, we've got a God there that we can either pull the positive or the negative from that same source. But, you know, if we pull enough of the positive and we all roll that positive snowball, it'll get bigger and bigger and we'll just have a wonderful time. But if we pull on the negative one, we'll have an avalanche come down on top of us.
That's true.
You know,
I had sent, I had stated to another friend psychic, Jill Dane, I stated to her, I hope we can make this world a better place, because when I do come back, I hope that this world is in a better frame of mind.
Well, I'm going to make it a better, I'm not even going to wish I can, I'm just going to, it's going to be a good place while I'm here, and I'm going to try to make it a better place while I walk along.
I didn't call in to steal the show from Derek now.
Oh, well, that's all right. Derek, right? Don't you, Derek?
Huh?
You love him, right?
Oh, hey, homie's okay. I don't bother me none. I'm enjoying this.
Oh, but can I say one thing about the game today?
What's that?
You know, I've even stated that Indianapolis Colts are going to win the Super Bowl, and I know other psychics have said the same thing. Now, the only thing is, the reason why we don't give scores is because of the gambling sense of people that listen, and they try to take the information to make money.
Yeah, we don't even use scratch and wins either.
Okay.
Well, you know,
just stating they win, that doesn't mean we can't give out all the information, because... Darn, well, if the gambler can take that information and bet on it, let's say, you know, they have a point spread on the games for the underdog. Like, let's say Chicago is the underdog today, and they're getting 7 points right off the bat. So in order for Indianapolis to win the game, and betting on them to win the game outright, you have to win by 8 points. So a gambling man would think, well, it could be a tight game or whatever. He'd bet on the... Chicago Bears. So we don't give out those scores, aspect of what might fully happen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a little quick one here. That's like when they used to phone me on television and they say, am I having a boy or a girl? And I say, I hope you're having one or the other. Because, you know, you that's a guess from as far as I'm concerned. And sometimes the vibration of a boy can be very artistic and whatnot. And then I'd rather give them a personality breakdown of what the child is that's coming in, you know. But we're getting close to the end of the show here, so we're going to have to close off and do a goodbye to Eric here and thank you, homie, for calling in.
I thank you, and it was nice to chat with you and meet you, Reverend Leonard.
Yeah?
And nice to meet up with you here on this Sunday, Derek.
Okay.
And thanks for everything.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling.
Hey, have a good Sunday afternoon.
Wonderful.
May God bless.
Thank you so much. God
Bye-bye.
Bless. Derek.
Yes.
That was a very interesting gentleman. You've talked to him before, I assume.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. This was really an interesting show having you on, and I'm sure that we'll do it again throughout the time here. And I have to thank you and BBS Radio for allowing me to come on, because you actually recommended me to the station, because you were already on there. You're on Tuesday nights from 8 to 9, correct?
Yes, I am.
In the evening. And so if anybody would like to get a hold of you at that time, certainly do. And go to your website, which is?
WhiteSkyCloud.com.
Good. And if they want to email us, it's chapel@innergarden.com, or go to our website, www.innergarden.com, and all the courses and things that we're doing are online.
And don't forget your feedback there, Barb.
Email, and you've got lots of courses, right?
Yep, yep.
So
don't forget
your
feedback on your station here. Cause
yeah, for
basically
sure.
Anybody who's a listener out there.
Feedback on there, that would be great, on the BBS.
We like the comments to send us the feedback on this program on BBS Radio.
Exactly. You'd like to say a quick closing prayer, Derek?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd like to thank Great Spirit for giving us our brothers and sisters to listen today. We'd also like to thank and also like to ask for healing for our sisters that are suffering and our brothers that are suffering. We'd also like to ask for healing for the elders who are unable to make to travel to places that they cannot make. We also ask for healing for them and all those who need healing. We ask for the children and the elders that are in the hospitals to heal, for helping them understand their journey. We also like to help to send healing to all those who are suffering through types of debilitating diseases and also the third world countries. We also like to thank you, Great Spirit, for giving us strength and to give us these gifts to show us and give us guidance to help those who are in need in this world. And we also give thanks to Reverend Barbara Leonard for deciding to put on this Inner Garden online chapel on the internet that will help benefit those who are in time of need. And as those who need to call in, please call in if you need help or prayers from others. It is beneficial for you all. I give thanks to Great Spirit for bringing us into this world. Amen.
Thank you, Derek. And please celebrate the one God in your own way by attending your chapel or your church or temple or synagogue of your choice. And also take time daily to meditate in God's chapel in your own sanctuary within. But thank you, and join us next week on the Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard saying, have a good week. Angels go with you.